Rabbi Alexander Hammond, Sunday 8th of March, Yud Beis Adar, Abdullah Yoda.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. I know the last few days you've heard a lot about Amalek, what Amalek is, what Amalek shouldn't be, and I think you're, according to the program, you're expecting to hear something else. But I'm going to start with Amalek, no apologies, and we'll move on with Hashem. I want to pose a question, a very interesting kasha, actually asked by the Oynig Yom Tov. Makes the following point. At this time of the Milchama, the end of Parshas B'Shalach, record the end of Parshas B'Shalach. So Amalek came, and Klal Yisrael had to go fighting. What did they do about it? Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you should go up on the mountain, you've got to keep your hands pointing upwards. And the Pasuk actually makes it very clear. That dependent upon the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu's hand, so was the success of Klal Yisrael. And the Mishnah explains, of course, nothing to do with the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were upheld, so Klal Yisrael's ideas and thoughts were directed upwards, and realizing that we're entirely in the hands of Borei Olam, and then we succeeded. And once his hand came down, and no longer were they focused upwards, then things didn't go so well. So Oynig Yom Tov poses the following question. He says, this was a Milchama, a Milchemes Mitzvah, and Klal Yisrael many times went through a Milchemes Mitzvah, and in fact in Parshas Shoftim, the Pesukim explained very clearly what he meant to do. Milchemes Mitzvah. So the army is gathered, and before going out to battle, the Kohen, who is Mashuach Milchama, the Kohen, that's his job to arrange and prepare everyone for Milchama. First of all, he selects, explains to people, you know, not everybody is worthy of taking part in the Milchemes Mitzvah. Having selected the army, those who are worthy of it, he'll speak them divrei kavushim shema Yisrael, you've got to know you're going to Milchama, and it looks very, very fearful, and then a big army over there. Don't worry, remember the Borei Olam is with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Don't worry. Full stop. They go out to Milchama. It can last days, weeks, we don't know how long it'll last for. And it seems that divrei hesoros they had before going to Milchama, that keeps them going. With that lasts them the whole time. For however long the Milchama actually takes. So ask the Oynig Yom Tov, why is it so different over here? It seems over here from Milchemes Amalek, it necessitated the whole time, constantly. The whole time they had to have this remind, you know, remember Borei Olam, remember the Eibishter there, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking after Milchama. Give them a rousing Musa Drasha before you start. This is the question he poses. So I'm afraid in order to try and answer this question, we're going to have a look a little bit further into Amalek again, but we'll come back to Purim Yetz Hashem. Well, I'll start off just introduce you to a concept you've probably all heard before. It's a very well-established concept in many Sforim, that the world as we see it, the Bria as we see it, a physical, tangible world, is really just a reflection of a deeper root. The real Shoyrish of the world is in higher spheres, the spheres of Ruchnius, spheres which are intangible, abstract. And any item we have, any Nivra, be it a person, be it an article, all have a Makoy, all have a Shoyrish, a root, up there somewhere in the world of Ruchnius. And Amalek is no different. Amalek exists in this world. Amalek also reflects some idea, some concept in the world of Ruchnius. What is it exactly that Amalek reflects? So the Oynig Yom Tov there in his discussion quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, what is it, what's the Shoyrish, what is the spiritual root and source of Amalek? Satan. Amalek zu ha-Satan. That's how the Zohar HaKadosh understands Amalek. So in other words, if we want to understand Amalek, we've really got to understand the Satan. Okay? Unfortunately, we're very familiar with him. We don't necessarily understand him that well. So I want to tell you an idea, Pshat and a Pasuk. We should just take a Pshat and a Pasuk, but that really, in a few words, gives across to us the power the Satan seems to have over us. It's really the very first time we meet this concept of Satan of Yetzer Hara, the Nochash. The Nochash are Yoru Mikol Chayas HaSodeh. And the first words the Nochash said to the Isha, he said like this, it's in Perigimel Pasuk Aleph. He said, "Af ki oma elikim lo yisraich li mikol eitz hagon." So Rashi explains Poshut Plak on the Pasuk. He's really entering into conversation. Yeah, is it true? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not allowed to eat anything. To which the response is going to be, like, yes or no. That was what he says. But Tzadok HaKoyen, great master of Hasidus from Lublin, he said, I'll tell you a different Plak on the Pasuk. You have to sing the whole Pasuk differently. The way to sing the Pasuk is like this. As if to say, You know, he's putting a cost to you. You're right, God's brother said you're not allowed to eat anything. Even though he said not allowed to eat anything, that's how he understands that. Even though he said you're not allowed to eat anything, and you're meant to understand the rest yourself, that's what God's brother said, you know, fine, but that's, you know, maybe you should eat, maybe you can decide differently, maybe you do what you want to do. And he suggests that this really is the power, this really is the kind of strategy with which the sovereign attacks. The question remains after his words, you know, how are we meant to understand? If we know that the world, the creation, is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is a manifestation, a reflection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so how can there be in the world, how can a person entertain the possibility of doing anything other than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? The Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Metzius, that's the truth, that's a fact. Anything else doesn't really exist. So how can a person entertain? Well, what's the Sotan trying to tell a person? You know, the Rebbe said this, but you could do something else. How is he going to get a person to think and to even accept that there may be something else? So the Sfan over here in this parasha has a big arichus. And the Sfan explains as follows. So the Sfan that this Nachash, this Sotan, this Yetzer Hara, is a very devious fellow. What he does is like this. He draws upon certain powers of the intellect of a person which are very effective, very very, very capable of making pictures. See, you imagine scenarios, imagine pictures in Maksovim in the brain. We call it, in one word, call it Dimyon. Once you say Dimyon is imagination, Dimyon is illusion, but that's how the Yetzer Hara works. There are powers within a person that the Yetzer Hara takes advantage of to generate a beautiful picture. He takes a simple example. A person taivas achila. Okay, so it's a problem we all have. Taivas achila. So how does it work? A person may well know that really I shouldn't be eating this now, but the imagination can generate such a picture, such a clear feeling, illusion. This geschmack is good, and after that I'm going to feel the top of the world if I have that. So we give in. But we tend to give in. So as a follower, that's the power the Yetzer Hara has, to create these pictures, apparently beautiful pictures. Let me put it to you slightly differently. There's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, L'achamei v'esrim, everyone comes up to Shemayim, and everyone is shown a picture of the Yetzer Hara. But depending on what one is, the picture will vary. And the Gemara takes the two extremes. Of course, there must be many shades in between. The Gemara takes the two extremes. So the Gemara, for a tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara appears like an enormous mountain. Enormous, almost unscalable mountain. For a rasha, the Yetzer Hara appears like a thin piece of string. So Mepharshim will ask the question, you know, the Yetzer Hara is one power, one thing. How can it be to different people that appear so differently? There are many answers offered. But the stifler, Zechariah Nevracha, said, Dvarim Pshutim, which bring out the point so clearly. He says like this. The Gemara says that anyone, when seeing Yetzer Hara, starts with Bechias. But you have to understand what the Bechias is all about, what they're crying for. The Sfan says like this. The Tzaddik sees in front of him a mountain. What is that mountain? That mountain is the Yetzer Hara. Because like the Sfan said, how does a Yetzer Hara operate? It cannot really, it can't offer anything real. It creates a picture, creates an illusion, creates an imagined geschmack, an imagined tainug. That's of enormous proportions, as if to say, you know, this is what you need, this is going to be enormous. The tzaddik nevertheless stands strong, and therefore the tzaddik feels, you know, I've got to somehow scale that mountain, overcome the challenge, overcome that enormous power that can only really be defined and described as a mountain. He stands firm, and he's able to overcome, says the Gemara. A bechir of simcha. And the tzaddik realizes this. The significance of his avodah, every time he stands up to that challenge, it's as if he scaled this enormous mountain, a bechir of simcha. So the stifler, the Gemara says the rasha is shown the Yetzer Hara, the same Yetzer Hara, but him it's a piece of string. Why? He said, let's be honest. He says, you know, again, take that simple piece of cake. It's easier to talk about that piece of cake. So we imagined the enormous geschmack, and it's just what I need, I'm going to feel so good on it afterwards. What happens after we eat the piece of cake? Or whatever else it may be. So the imagined geschmack, the imagined enjoyment and tainug,
never materialises.
Yeah, that's very nice and all the rest of it. But what we expected, what that picture of Tainug, just doesn't happen. So that's the Rosha. The Rosha saw the mountain, enormous, is Geschmack, whether it's a piece of cake or any other illusory pleasure. And he can't resist. It's so big, it's so real, he can't resist it. So he falls in for it. Once he's fallen in, he realises, what do I have? What have I really gained from it? Something a bit like a piece of string. Yeah. What the enjoyment I was expecting to get didn't materialise. It was much, much less, infinitely less. So now it's the Rosh Hashanah, it's a bit late now, but he's crying a Bechir Shel Tzar to realise that he spent his whole life running after pieces of string. Yeah. Thinking he's scaling mountains, in fact just running after pieces of string. That's the koyach, that is the power which the Yetzer Hara seems to have. Yisrael Salanter wrote in his Igeret HaMusa, very famous Igeret HaMusa, and before actually starting the letter he wrote a few words of Hakdama, and there's one phrase there that's become very famous, and it's exactly what we're talking about. Yisrael said the following. He says, Ha'odom chofshi b'dimyoynoi v'osur b'muskoloi. Ha'odom, a person chofshi b'dimyoynoi, in a dimyon he's free, v'osur b'muskoloi, in terms of intellect, seichel, thinking carefully, he seems to be tied down and limited. Yisrael Salanter is telling us like this: the dimyon, this power of imagination, because it's not true, because it bears little relation to the absolute truth, chofshi b'dimyon, you can think anything. There are no limitations. As long as my imagination has a capacity, nothing is going to stop it. Nothing is going to say, it's a bit ridiculous, because it's anyway all illusory. So it's chofshi b'dimyon, I can think and imagine anything, the most enormous geshmaki enjoyment, or the most brilliant success, because it's not bound by the laws of truth. But muskoloi, when it comes to seichel, cold probing logic, what is true, what's real, what's a matias, then also, then there are limitations, So that's exactly the problem, because the dimyon is free. The dimyon is without any limitation at all. And if the dimyon is without any limitation, it can take a person who knows where. So Bissarol carries on. He said, what am I meant to do about it? I have this dimyon, but I've got a healthy imagination, a fertile imagination, generated of course by the Yetzer Hara, or something the Yetzer Hara makes use of. What am I meant to do about it? How can I fight against it? He said, Bissarol, you've only got one Yetzer. You've got a Seichel as well. You also have powers of intellect. The power of intellect to understand, to analyze, to probe. What am I really after? What am I really going to gain from it? What do I really want? And Bissarol again carries on there with a beautiful, beautiful muscle. It's not so beautiful, but they're powerful, much better. He says, the dimyon is like a nachal shaitef. The dimyon is like a raging torrent. Imagine the rapids. The rapids shooting everywhere. And he says, a person can very easily just get carried along with it. What am I meant to do? The only eitzah is to somehow make sure that my seichel is on top of it all. So we saw this very difficult. It's very challenging. And again, carrying on that allegory, he says, imagine the dimyon as a nachal shaitef, a raging torrent. And you want to get through, you want to pass through, you want to travel through safely. What are you going to have to do? Make some kind of a boat. Take that boat, and very carefully steer it. Put your seichel inside the boat, make sure the seichel is always floating on top. So are you going to have the imagination, the illusions, and the dimyonis? Very nice. But as long as the seichel is on top, I'm always constantly asking back, referring back, is it really true? Does it make sense? Is that what I really want? Then fine. Then we'll be okay. I think this really, in here, really lies the answer to the question of the Einig Yomtev. Amalek, like we said, Amalek is a reflection of the Sotah. But it's really true. I mean, Amalek was a master of disguise, a master of deception. For example, the second time Amalek tried coming against Klal Yisrael, they dressed up as Canaanim. They had a gun. So Cheshbon actually says the intention was that Klal Yisrael wouldn't realize they are Amalek, will daven that these Canaanim should be destroyed. The tefillah is the wrong tefillah, they'll succeed. But Amalek were able to present themselves as Canaan instead of as Amalek. Masters of deception and disguise. A little bit later on, this yesterday's Haftorah, we know that Shaul HaMelech was meant to go fighting them. We know the whole story. Agag got away with it, momentarily, at least for a bit of time. How did Agag get away with it? So the Medrash says, because Agag disguised himself as an animal, or turned into an animal. Again, master of deception. But perhaps the greatest deception of all was Parashat Amalek. Asher Korcho Baderech. Because it didn't really hold water, it didn't really make sense. Everybody, the whole world, had seen, had watched, had experienced Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Shiloch, so, you know, they were frightened, petrified. Until along comes Amalek, like Rashi says, Yashay Kolcha Baderech, and Amalek wanted to jump into the bath, cool it off. That's the greatest deception of all. Because the point is that if a person, take Amalek, is more comfortable talking about Amalek. Amalek, their life, their existence revolves around the Dimyon. What it seems, what's apparent, the illusion. They don't really have that involvement, they don't really have that power or that interest in probing every situation. Is it really true? Is that the true Metzius? Is that really factual? And once one's living in a world of, to some degree of illusion, then nothing is true, nothing really matters. Nothing really has much significance. If, anyway, the whole world around me is to a certain degree governed and understood with illusion. And therefore, Amalek of all people, Amalek can come along and say, Ashrei Kolcha Baderech, you know, you tell me wonderful things. Coincidence doesn't matter, because a person who's so involved in that self-deception loses sight of the Metzius of Emes. Emes ceases to have any particular meaning. It should be an Ashrei Kolcha as well. So the only Yomtzev, said Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going out to fight an Amalek. And again, Amalek wasn't just a mortal enemy. Amalek was a whole concept. Amalek was a whole approach to life. Amalek was a whole musik. And that's why Amalek was able to be Asher Korach. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we're now fighting the Satan himself. Again, in concept, we're fighting the Satan himself. The power of the Satan is that illusion, that deception that Amalek represented. How are we going to fight against it? There's only one way. There's only one way. Like Rabbi Yisrael said, it's a raging torrent. I've got to have the seichel. I've got to constantly be aware of my seichel. I've got to constantly be asking backwards and forwards the whole time. Is it really true? Is it really factual? Is it really what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants? And if I'm not constantly questioning, then I lose myself. I lose myself in this beautiful world depicted by the imagination. It's like a beautiful world. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it could be, it's true, any other milchama, you're the Mechemes Mitzvah. So there are questions, you're going to be concerned, you're going to be frightened. Well, fine. Before we start, give you a rousing divrei asayrus, you'll understand that Yibush is with you, bitochen, well, fine, that'll keep you going. With Amalek is not enough, because Amalek, the struggle with Amalek, is a struggle of concept, a struggle of the very basis of Klal Yisrael. It's Klal Yisrael, the Seichel against the Sotan, against the Dimyon. The only way to prevail there, to prevail, quite clearly, is I've got to put this, got to have this ship on which I have my seichel, Kaseida, the whole time, constantly, the seichel's got to be there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, I've got to be there with you the whole time, my hands are upward. And I know if momentarily my hands go down, and momentarily you lose sight of, you're not focused on that seichel, focused on always asking yourself, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really want from me? It can be lost, the whole battle can be lost. You yourselves can fall into that depth of illusion, of imagination. It must be constantly there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, my hands are going to be constantly pointing upwards. Different from any other milchama. Fine. That's Amalek. That's Amalek and the way to come against them. But we still have a question. Because a person always has a choice. Yes, the Yisraelis of Aramon, a person always has a bechira. So a person is faced over here with various options. Okay, the Dimyon is very powerful, very depictive, very enticing. It's built up this beautiful picture. But at the end of the day, a person knows, you know, there's a Borei Olam. So how exactly does where does the choice go wrong? How is it that a person is so readily led by that imagined scenario? And of course, it's not foolish. I mean, that imagined scenario is very real. I mean, it looks very real. That's why so many people run after it. So I want to tell you a little bit more from Tzadok HaKoyim. He says like this. He says, it depends very much where a person is heading for. There's a concept again which he refers to, comes across many times in this forum, a concept which he calls Ano Emloich. It loosely translated, I'm king, I'm in charge over here. So the Tzadok HaKoyim like this. When a person is approaching any matzav, any situation, what is it that he's looking for? What is he after? So a person feels, you know, I'm the boss around here, my destiny is in my control. I've got to make my choice. Decide what to do. And it all depends upon what I feel is right, what I understand is best. Such a person has this feeling of, I'm not Emlach, you know, I'm in charge over here. When I'm in charge over here, then I'm very automatically susceptible to everything. Because if I'm in charge, so how am I going to decide? This is what I want, what I like, what I feel. And that leaves a person very open to making the wrong choice. It leaves a person very open to all sorts of dimyonas, all sorts of imagined success, imagined enjoyment, because if I want, I'm in charge, so I may fall for the imagination. And in fact, says Reb Sadok, this Amno Emlek, not surprising, Amno Emlek really is what epitomizes Amolek. Amolek epitomizes this concept of I'm in charge, I'll choose. And therefore he says, you know, Amolek is not necessarily a mushkas. We sometimes picture Amolek as a mushkas and a terrible fellow. Not necessarily. You get very many very upright people who also are Amolek. Because they may be upright at the moment, because they happen to have decided at the moment that's the best for me, that's what I want. But as long as in this person's mind the important point is, what do I want, what do I feel, such a person is always going to be very susceptible to making the wrong choice, the wrong decision. For the moment, you're leading a moral lifestyle. But who knows? Who knows? You don't have the guarantee. That's the essence of Amolek, that I'm no Emlech. Says Rabsadik, so what's the answer? The answer lies, he says, in true Anova. True Anova. So I'm no Emlech. I'm in charge, of course. In other words, it's guiding. True Anova. He says, what does true Anova mean? True Anova means that I know I'm a person, I know I've got abilities, capabilities, kishroinus, but I appreciate all of them are to be used only for what is rotzon haboyle. So that's the definition of true anova. That everything I do is always going to be questioning. Vos vil de eibishter. In other words, ano, what I want, what I feel, what I think, that's not the question anymore. The question is vos vil de eibishter. Because that's the essence of true anova. It's like the power of true anova. Therefore, let me just digress a little bit. In the Sforim, we find the Sforim talk a lot about various middos people may have. Taiva, Gaiva, Kinner, Kovet. The Sefer called Reishis Chochma. Reishis Chochma, a Sefer, Friedrich Sefer. Yeah, he talks about a lot of these middos, these problems. He talks about all of them in what he calls Shar Ho'anova. He's discussing Anova. And many people question, you know, Taiva, Kinner, have a Shah HaTaiva, a Shah HaKinah. Why do I belong a Shah HaNova? But this is the point. Because a person is going to make the wrong mistake, the wrong choice. A person is going to make an incorrect choice when there's Ano Emlech. When underneath it all is, what do I want? What do I feel? What do I think is going to be best but most successful for me? The opposite number is the Anova. The true Anova, when a person says, look, Vos vil de Eibishter. What I'm after is Vos vil de Eibishter. And then I'm always going to make, not always, at least I have the kelim with which to make the right choice. The Sforim tell us that in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're going to have to suffer from the Erev Rav. We'll suffer from Erev Rav. And Rabbi Zesler writes, he quotes from the Gaon, he says, what does Erev Rav mean? So Erev Rav doesn't mean necessarily those people or their descendants of those people who came out of Mitzrayim. We're talking about spiritual heirs. The spiritual heirs of various ideas, various hashkofas and outlooks put across and propagated by different ummas. And Erev Rav in fact doesn't mean Erev Rav, it stands, it's the Rosh Hashanah for various other nations. And he quotes from the Gaon that the Ayin stands for Amolek, and it's right at the very beginning, because the challenges presented to us in the form of Amolek are the challenges that are the most profound and the ones that are going to be most serious and closest to Ikvus of the Mashiach as Man Bias HaMashiach. So if we understand it correctly, what is Amolek all about? Amolek is that power of illusion, that power of imagined success, and we don't always realize it's imagined. It seems so real, but that's the power of Amolek. And it doesn't take much thought to realize that nowadays the opportunities that have been formed and discovered and developed to present us with these illusions, with these pictures and images of wonderful success and wonderful enjoyment, it's ad lahafli. The kind of ideas and pictures that were bombarding people 100 years ago don't compare. Don't begin to compare what we have nowadays. And many gedolim have said that, you know, the kind of nisyonos a person can have nowadays, just walking down the street, and seeing and hearing, are perhaps greater than the nisyonos a person used to have in a whole lifetime. But this is our Amolek, and it all seems so real, so almost so tangible. This is the power of our Amolek. This is the iron of the Erev Rav. But again, what is the point? It's only a problem when it's Ano Emlech. When I feel that I'm in charge, I've got to choose, I've got to decide. Once my focus is changed, once my focus is, Vos vil de Eibishter, Yeah, I've got opportunities, but I've got kishrayness, I've got kishrayness. What does the Eibishter want from me? All directed towards the Eibishter. Then I have the keli with which to overcome, the keli with which to pierce right the way through Amalek. Purim is a time for the fierce Amalek. Yeah. Part of the problem from Purim came from Amalek, and perhaps that's one of the most profound lessons of the whole story of the Megillah. That what appears to have been just the world working, things happening, is in fact everything directed from above. What appears to have been just various coincidental circumstances, when put together and seen together in a whole chain of events, you realize back to the very beginning, it's not just a coincidence, it's carried through by the Eibishter. And therefore, an attitude of Asher Korcho, that, you know, it's of no meaning, of no consequence, is ridiculous the way Chazal Mordechai and Esther put forward to us Megillas Esther. That we come against, attack Amalek. But there's one halacha in Purim, which perhaps is not so easy to understand, but really is exactly the point. Shaydin Chazal, Chayev Inishli Besume Bepuria Adzala Yoda. You're finally right. A very interesting expression. Chazal say, you know, get drunk. So there are many ways of saying get drunk. It's an unusual expression. The Besume, to make himself perfumed and mevusum, and to define Adzala Yoda. What are the Chazal telling us? The Chazal are telling us exactly this. On Purim, we really are makabel, once again, makabel upon ourselves, O Malchus Shemayim. We read through the Megillah, we understand with perhaps a deeper insight. The Kabbalah of the Malchus Shemayim is not just an idea, something we think about at the time of Shema. It's an idea that pervades our whole life. It's an idea that has to really colour every decision, every choice we're going to make. Because if it doesn't, come back to Rabbi Sol Salanto, come back to Moshe Rabbeinu. If we're not always aware of the Kabbalah of the Malchus Shemayim, we're going to fall foul of Amalek. And the underlying point is it Anoem Lech, am I in charge, that's going to see what I want, what I feel is best, or what's will the Eibishter? The most profound way of showing that it's everything's the Eibishter, and what I want is irrelevant, is Adela Yoda. Be Mevasim yourself. Loshon of Besumim. Yeah, Besumim. Make yourself pleasant. Bring out for yourself the spices, the sweetness. That's a Loshon of Besumim. Bring out the sweetness a person has by saying Adela Yoda. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, I'm Mevatel my das. I'm prepared to go through life without my own thinking, my own feeling, what I want, because my own what I want is not the point. What I feel, what I think, that's not the point. My question always is, was will the Eibishter? And therefore, on Purim, having heard the Megillah, I'm prepared, and I'm ready, and we won't dare do it on Purim, I'm prepared and ready to say, I want to be Mevastim myself, bring out the Besom and bring out the sweetness of my ability, and say, Adela Yoda, I'm now here and now being Mevatel my das. My das, my understanding is not the point at all. I only want one thing, for no was the Eibishter. And if the Torah is telling us, the Nefesh of the Mashiach, our main challenges stand from Amalek, from the demyonis of Amalek, the enormous, powerful illusions that Amalek is showering us with us the whole time, then perhaps Purim is the time, Purim is a day in the year which is so powerful to overcome. Purim, a time of the Megillah, we understand how to overcome the Asher Korcho, and yeah, the Besumi, but to understand the Adela Yoda, to get to the stage of Adela Yoda is to be Mavasan, to bring out the beauty of a person, the beauty of a Yid, to know my Das is irrelevant, what I want, what I feel, Kol Kul is Vosvil de Eibishter. With that, such a powerful Kabbalah to Malchus Shemayim should be zeichus to have a Purim, an uplifting Purim, a Purim they made Milvadoi, and that should help us bring Spiyas Mashiach from here of Yomim. Amen.